Please take your seats. School is now in session.
Welcome to Homeschooled Podcast.
Homeschooled.
The Homeschooled Podcast. Why? Because he was homeschooled.
It's time to document the journey.
Welcome back to Homeschool Podcast. You know me, I'm your host, Augustino Zoida, and if you don't know me, welcome. This is the Homeschool Podcast where we talk about a lot of shit. I have a lot of great guests. Sometimes I have a co-host, which my co-host Kevin Lyons is the permanent co-host, but he's not really here that often. Just because he's got... By the way, let's address this right now, because some people might be thinking, where the fuck's Kevin been? Guys, it's just that, Kevin's, not to give too much of his personal life away, went back to school. He's a busy fucking guy. He's got two full-time jobs on top of him following his own dreams of a filmmaker. So he's constantly writing scripts and filming stuff and editing and learning how to do new stuff and special effects. It's like, I ain't mad at the guy. And I always tell him whenever we're doing a podcast, and he's always welcome to jump on. He's the only co-host that will ever be. And, you know, you can't be mad at somebody for chasing their dream and having that work and that hustle. So a big shout out to our co-host, Kevin Lyons. And welcome back to the Homeschool Podcast listeners. I really appreciate you guys. We know you got a lot of options out there for podcasts, so I really appreciate you. I want to thank everybody who came out to the shows this last weekend in Austin, Texas. I know that you're listening to this podcast right now. It's already a brand new weekend. But last weekend, I was in Austin, Texas, and I met some great new people. And hopefully they're going to keep in touch with me. And just thank you to everybody that came out to the shows. It was fantastic. And we're going to talk a little bit more about it in just a second when we get going here. I want to let everybody know that I'm heading to Vegas next. But the locations, I'm still getting all the info. But I'll be, you know. Make sure you're following me on social media because I'll be posting like where everything is and everything. But after that, after Vegas, the next gigs I got coming up are all in Dubai. So to our friends over in Dubai, you can head over to my website, AugustinoComedian.com or HomeschooledPod.com, and you'll be able to get more information on where I'll be performing in Dubai, including the Dubai Comedy Festival, which I've been invited to, so that's exciting. And then June, when I come back in the United States, I need you guys right now to start getting prepared for that. Some tickets are on sale already. June 5th, I'll be in Salt Lake City, Utah. I hope you guys can make it out to that. Tickets are already on sale at homeschoolpod.com. And then the weekend of June 12th, I'll be in Austin, Texas again. And then June 19th, I'm in Paso Robles. So now we got all that out of the way. Everything's at homeschoolpod.com. Click on tour. All right. So let's get into it, everybody. I won't take too much of your time. Every now and then I do an episode solo. So it's just me when I got something I want to say. And you know what, guys? Sometimes the thing that I want to say doesn't take that long. So, I try not to keep the podcast too long. Usually they're like an hour or 40 minutes. But these solo ones are like a half an hour. But you know what? It doesn't matter how long it's going to be because I don't give myself any restrictions. When I got something on my mind, I'm going to tell you however long it takes. But I won't take too much of your time. Because it's one particular thing that I want to talk about. And we're going to talk about Austin, Texas this last weekend, okay? So now I'm telling you this because I know a lot of stand-up comedians listen to this or aspiring comics or we cater a lot here to aspiring anything, specifically I'd say more often art. And live performing arts of any kind. And so this is why I think it's important to talk about it. So I was just telling Sam Tripoli, that's who I was in Austin with. He was headlining. He asked me to feature for him, which was super nice of him. The second time he's asked me to do a gig with him. He doesn't have to do that. He has a lot of friends, and it's very nice of him that he asked me to go with him. He's a great human being. So I was telling him in the hotel room we were hanging out, and I was just saying, like, dude, you know, the way that things, I thought that they worked. I said, I thought the way that it worked was, you know, you open for a comic, and they take you around, you know, to open for them, MC, feature, and you perform in all these venues and you meet the bookers at these venues, and then that's how you get booked. So, you know, if they take you as an MC, you're performing at a place that you normally wouldn't perform. You're opening for this headliner, and he took you, or she took you, and now you're the MC. And then so they'll look at you and they'll go, well, this person's a good MC, and I can use MCs sometimes. So, you know, let me get your contact info. And then they'll start throwing you MC work, or go, like, you can feature too. But, and then, you know, as you start to become more of a, you know, deeper into your path, into your career, and you start to get better and you get better, and you sometimes can start headlining here and there, and someone sees that you're a good comic, they will ask you to headline. This is the way I thought that it worked, okay? And I was telling that to Sam, and Sam goes, you know, well, that is the way that it did work. It used to work that way. So we were just having that conversation. And Saturday night, I got off stage after the late show. It was the last show of our weekend. I got off stage, and no, excuse me, I'm lying to you. It was the early show. Not that it matters, but it was the early show. I got off stage and I go in the green room, and the manager, the guy who books the room, was sitting back there, and he was writing checks, and gives me my check. And not only does he give me a bonus, which, by the way, if you guys are stand-up comics, it's unheard of for a feature act to get a bonus. It's usually, like, if you're the headliner, you'll get a bonus. So, like, just to kind of, you know, maybe we'll make this educational for new comics. When you're a headliner and you're, like, a big name who has like, a really good following, you'll oftentimes make a door deal. So, like, you know, you'll get a percentage of the door, and then the club will get a percentage of the door. So you have your following, you'll probably make more money this way. But if you're a headliner and you're not necessarily, you know, having the biggest fan base ever, but you're a great headlining comedian, they'll pay you flat rates. And then they'll go, but we'll give you bonuses if you sell out the room. So they'll give you a bonus per night that you sell out the room. That's usually how it works. I've never heard of, in my 12 years of stand-up comedy, of a opener getting a bonus. I don't know if it was because they sold out the room. Although, they probably, you know, wouldn't have done it if they didn't have a great weekend and made a lot of money. So that it was just a super nice gesture of them. And I took it as a token of appreciation that they just, you know, the guy who books it's also a comic. And I know that he appreciates good comedy when he sees it. And that was super nice of him. And then asked me, you know, how long can you do? And I'm like, bro, I can do well over an hour. And then, you know, right away gives me a date to come back in Texas. And it's like, that's the way that it's supposed to work. And that's what I was telling Tripoli, like, that's how I thought it worked. And he was like, well, you know, it's supposed to, and it used to. And so that felt good. So now I have to ask myself, like, because, you guys, I toured with Joey Diaz for years. And, you know, that's what I thought would happen. And that's kind of what people would tell you. Even the headliner would tell you, like, hey, man, you know, you should be, you know, killing these sets and meeting the bookers. And then they're asking you to come back and stuff like that. And, you guys, that didn't really happen to me very much when I was opening for Joey or for a lot of comics. It didn't really happen to me. Now I can ask myself, was it because I wasn't good yet? Was I not ready? Now, I'm not trying to suck my own dick here and say that, you know, this is not how it sounds, but I've never really been bad. So obviously, like, now I'm better than I was 2 years ago. And 2 years ago, I'm better than I was, you know, 2 years before that. I mean, you can always go back and watch old sets of yourself and go, man, I was bad, which, you know, I do that all the time. I'm not saying I wasn't bad, but for my time in, I was never bad. Like, sure, you bombed here and there, but it was never, honestly, guys, I didn't bomb that often in my 12 years. I can probably count maybe 10 times, maybe or less, that I bombed. And then I've had some, you know, lame sets of, like, you know, whatever, or the crowd was whack or whatever like that, but I've never really been bad. So now I'm asking myself, why didn't this ever really happen to me till now? Maybe I wasn't ready. But then again, sure, I can understand that if you're talking about going from an opener to a headliner, like, you know, not being ready, or going from an MC to a feature, not being ready. But what we're talking about is, like, MCing a weekend and doing a great job, and the club not going like, hey, would you like to MC some more? That's what I'm talking about. Like, it didn't really happen. It just never really happened for me. And what I realized, and I'm not trying to say that it's not because I was so great, so why would they not? It's not that. Like I said, you have to be ready for something. And, but as far as, like, I'm already MCing, you could have offered me MC work, or I'm already featuring, you could have offered me feature work. As far as that, it didn't really happen. So what I noticed was it was a different time. There was an era of comedy where all of a sudden it was, we're about to go through a brand new era of, like, comedy being huge again. But this was, like, this epic time of, like, comedy clubs and bookers and venues and these little theaters or whatever were really blinded by the headliners that were selling out and having such a huge draw, like guys like Joey Diaz, or, you know, these guys with the podcast numbers that were huge, that they can sell out these rooms. The venues were loving it. They were loving it. And it kind of felt like, we don't really give a shit about the feature or the MC. You're a dime a dozen. And we are. We are. There's, like, yeah, people are here to see that headliner. They're giant fans of him. They're selling out every night. We don't need you. So if the headliner brought you, fine, great. If they don't, we'll find someone just like you. And to be honest with you, if we find someone that bombs, it doesn't really matter because they're paying to see this person. That's what it kind of feels like. What was happening, and it makes a lot of sense if you think about it. So, I mean, you can't be mad at it. I understand it, but it's kind of true. Like, was I good? Yes, I'm good. I'm better now than I was then, but at the time, I was really good for where I was. I was a good MC. I was a good feature act. That's why these guys keep bringing you on the road. That, and, like, they just get along with you. And so, yeah, I was good. But I'm a funny stand-up comic who's a white dude. There's a billion of me. If it's not me, it's someone else. And the thing is that, like, there's so much of us that we were constantly contacting the booker, that they were being harassed by us, that they probably had constantly thousands of emails in their inbox. And, you know, there's a waiting list of, like, they had a pile of people to get through. And here you are in front of their face, killing it. Great MC, great feature act, and they're not thinking to themselves, I can use this guy. That was, like, management. That was bookers. And they were not going, I can use this guy. And, you know, a lot of those people were not comics. I have found that when the bookers are also comics, they appreciate a good comic, and they know that they can use this person again. So, that I've definitely noticed. But when someone's not a comic and they're just a suit, if you will, management, they're sitting there with an email inbox filled with thousands of potential openers and MCs that are begging for stage time. So they're not even, like, paying attention to you. And if they did catch your set and you were great, they might say, like, great job. But they're not, like, so desperate for really good talent. It wasn't that important to them. It was just anybody who can do 5 to 15 minutes, and then the feature can do, you know, 10 to 20. Anybody, as long as you just don't offend people and you're fine. And that's really what it seemed like it was. They weren't paying attention. It's common. I'm getting somewhere that I think things are changing. I think times are changing. And before I go into how, here's another story. There's a comedy club I won't say its name, but there's only like two or three comedy clubs in Sacramento, so you figure it out. There's a comedy club that I showcased for three times. And guys, we're not talking about when I was an opener. We're talking about like in the last 4 years, I've showcased for them three times. So besides the pandemic, I showcase for them every year. So this is a club that like, you know, even though you're a killer and you have a bunch of comics like vouching for you, they're going like, well, we still just need to see him. And I went and showcased for him three times, and all three times murdered it. A couple times buried their headliner, and you know, you send them an email the next day and they're going like, you know, they're ghosting you. And then finally they'll respond and be like, yeah, well, our process is that we got to see you in person first. And I'm like, I was just there. You guys didn't see me? I killed it. So, you know, a bunch of times they weren't in the room, weren't paying attention, even though they like set it up. And, you know, one of the guys is a little douchey to me, like, you know, I was sitting in the bar and he was like, you're next. This is your opportunity, bro. Better get in there and get ready. I was like, dude, I'm ready. I'm right here. I know what I'm doing. I've been doing this for a long time. And, you know, they just, it's suits. It's these guys that have been pushing this attitude of, you know, like, we got to kiss the ring and we've got to, you know, we do have to work our asses off. We do have to make sacrifices. We do have to pay the dues. And I've done it, and I'm still willing to do it. And you guys know me. I work my fucking ass off. It's not what I'm saying. But their attitude was this, you know, there's a billion comics, and this is your opportunity. It's like, well, and then you guys didn't watch me. You guys didn't watch me. I'm a good fucking comic that you could have used. And then, you know, they were closed for a whole year during pandemic, and now they're open. And I go back to their website, and they're still using the same fucking comics that they were using. It's like, don't you guys get new talent in there? How many fucking people think you go to your club? Probably a lot of regulars. Don't you think that they want to see some new talent in there? And nothing against the guys that they book. Some of them, I love those guys. You know, they fucking vouch for me to try to help me get in there. But it's like, now there's a new era. Now there's a new era. Your comedy club just opened after a year of a pandemic, and now you're just using your same old guys again. And you guys got to get new talent in there. And that, I'm not just talking about this particular club, but this is what clubs should be doing. This is what they should be working on. And I think that we're going to see a shift, a mood change. And, you know, I think that times are changing. Times are changing, you guys. It's, and then here's the other thing is that, so because that club fucking ghosts me, 2 years in a row, I do a show on my own in a brewery in their neighborhood, and I sold out 2 years in a row. Last year, February of 2020, I sold out two shows in one night. This year, February of 2021, I sold out four shows in one weekend. In their neighborhood. And it's like, guys, that's who the fuck you're dealing with. That's what the fuck you're dealing with. If you're not going to fucking pay attention and be on the lookout for good talent and respect artists and not make them all feel like that you got to fucking kiss the ring. I get it, guys. There's a lot of fucking comics that come and bother you. I get it. But you know what? You got to treat people with respect. And you never know who's like fucking good or not. You never know who's going to blow up and be huge. I've seen that happen 1,000 times. You know, I've seen people treat comics like shit, and then they ended up, true story, being Kevin Hart later. I've heard that story. So, I mean, that time is done. And if you still have people who treat you like that, they're just idiots who still haven't picked up on this. And I remember reading something a long, long, long time ago, I think, about Doug Stanhope, that like he was saying to the comedy clubs, like, we don't need you anymore. And he was going to like little bars and stuff and renting out the room and packing it out because he built his fan base. And that's what it reminded me of. Like, this town in Sacramento, in the same town where that comedy club showcased me three times and fucking ghosted me after I murdered their showcases. It's like, and they didn't even watch. You guys should have been looking for talent. You should have been paying attention. You were making people drive 6 hours to a city they don't live in to showcase for you to make zero money in the potential that you may hire them in the future. And then didn't watch their set. Now, I'm not just going after this club hard. It seems like I'm going after this one particular club hard. But no, guys, this is how it worked for a long time. I've been a comic for 12 years. I know what it's like to walk into a room and feel like no one can see you. Like you don't belong. I absolutely love the Comedy Store. And I really respect that club. And I grew to be, to feel like it's home. And you guys, there were times, even a year ago, before the pandemic, where I walked in there and I felt like I wasn't wanted. It depended on who the comics were. It depended on who was there. Like, you know, everybody knew me that I was like Joey Diaz's boy, or, you know, that I fucking opened for these great comics, or I go in there with Jimmy Schubert and you get mad respect. And then they knew that. But then when those guys weren't there and some douchebags were there alone, you know what I mean? They try to fucking ghost me and not even say hello. Guys, I know what it's like to walk into a venue with a bunch of comics and not feel seen, or a bunch of bookers, and you feel like, why don't I just go home and quit? Why don't I just go home and fucking kill myself? Because I'm doing this every single day, and you guys don't even look me in the eye. I'm not even telling you to book me. I'm telling you to look me in the eye and say hello. But you got to earn that respect, you know. It's true. It's true. There's a particular guy very well known that if I said his name, you guys would know who the fuck he is, that for years didn't even look me in the eye when I walked down the fucking halls. And it's like, and we've known each other like as long as I've been a comic. So at least 12 years. And only recently looks me in the eye and shakes my hand. There's people that have their power and they let it go to their heads, and I hope that fucking bookers realize now that you gotta treat people with respect. You can't make people come and fucking showcase and showcase and showcase. And you know, if they're not funny, you didn't like them, fine. But you didn't watch them. When you have a killer fucking comic up there, and you don't know what they're gonna end up being. I'm not saying I'm gonna end up being fucking rich and famous, but I am telling you I'm a hard worker, and I'm a great fucking comic, okay? It doesn't happen that a feature act walks off stage and gets a fucking bonus. It doesn't happen often, at least in the last 12 years that I've been doing stand-up, where a feature act walks off stage and someone hands him a fucking headlining date. It just doesn't happen. You're good. You're good at what you do. It's just that people weren't fucking acknowledging it because they had these other huge names that were making them a fuck ton of money. And that's fine. But I'm here to tell you guys that it's a new fucking era. Fuck those guys. You, I'm talking to you now, the artist, whether you're a live performing artist or not, musician, painter, writer, fucking scripts, whatever the fuck it is, you don't need to take that shit. And if they fucking give you that shit, fine, let them give you that shit. Don't go home with your tail between your legs. You go home and you go, how am I gave them a chance to do the right thing. Now, how am I going to fucking sell out a show in their neighborhood? To show them, not only am I fucking funny, but I can pack a room too. And you fucked up. Okay? This is your time to shine. And it's a new time, you guys. I hope that they realize that. And now, I'm not boasting myself. I'm boasting you. I'm not trying to lift myself up. I'm trying to lift you up. Because, you guys, I got my own doubts, believe me. I got enough doubts to bury me in the fucking ground. So I can say this shit about myself to lift myself up. But I'm telling you too, because you also need to be lifted up. No one can tell you anymore that you're not this, or you can't do that, or you're not ready. You decide when you're ready. You want to promote yourself? Fucking stop doing the shit that people offer you that you don't want to do anymore. That's how you promote yourself. You sacrifice and you sacrifice and you hang in there until you get promoted. I'll tell you that I don't want a feature anymore. I'm not going to accept feature work unless, and I've actually said this for a little while now, the only time I'm featuring for somebody is if it's for a handful of my friends that I'll do that for, or someone that just has a large enough following that it doesn't matter. because I'm more and more often coming across people that don't want to follow me, and they try to give me some bullshit about how I can't do this joke and I can't do that joke because it's too dirty. You just can't follow it. They try to tell you, oh, can you tone it down a little bit? It's just like, because he can't follow me. So I just don't want to put myself through that anymore. So I'm not going to take any opening work anymore unless it's for my friends or people who have a large following. I will still open for Joey Diaz, even though he doesn't really tour anymore, or right now anyway, he's on a break. I will open for Jimmy Schubert any day of the week because he's a fucking savage beast comic and he can follow anybody. And he's my friend. I'll still open for Tripoli. You know, maybe a handful of guys. Maybe a handful of fucking guys. And I'm going to, you know, I'm starting to get all this headlining work. And it's not because it's thrown at me. Don't get me wrong. Don't get off stage and be like, I killed. Where's my headlining weekend? It's not going to happen like that all the time, you guys. You got to go and work hard, too. That's one date. That's one date on my calendar is that. The rest of it is all me fucking pushing. Or a friend that recommended me for a job. That's what it is. And that's because you're in something long enough that people know that they can trust you to recommend you for a job. Because you've been in this. They know you're a hard worker. They know you're good at what you do. And they know that you're going to be, you're reliable. And you're not going to fucking get drunk at the shows. You know, and act like an idiot or forget your set. So that's it, you guys. That's the moral of the story in this podcast here is that, first of all, I'm feeling good. I feel like things are moving. And I'm thankful to everybody that came out in Austin. I'm thankful for Tripoli for taking me on the road with him. And I'm thankful that for good artists and good bookers that still recognize good artists. And like I said, comics, I've always done that when the comic is also the booker. And you guys, you don't have to take this shit anymore. The suits. If you guys just focus on building your audience, that's it. Focus on building your audience, and that's, I mean, you can play anywhere. It doesn't matter. You're like, oh, well, I can't. They denied me on The Tonight Show or Conan. I'm fine, fuck them. But you can build your audience. You can go perform anywhere. You do whatever the fuck you want. They want to make that money. They want to sell tickets. So you can do whatever you want. That's what you got to do. And they also can't take anything away from you. Oh, fucking take that weekend away from them. You can't take the audience away from them. You can't take away something that you don't give somebody. If you built your audience, they'll be loyal to you forever. You can't take that away. So that club wants to take away your weekend? Fine. You can go do it over here, film it, and release it on your own website. Because your fans are always with you. So build your fan base. And I'm not saying be disrespectful. I'm not saying walk up to bookers and be like, can I get a spot? No, well, fuck you. I'm not saying be disrespectful. But I am saying, guys, don't feel so bad. Don't be in a dark place. Build yourself up. You got this. This is time for you. This is your time. I know last year everybody, oh, this was going to be my year, but then the pandemic happened. And people are always saying, this was going to be my year. Guys, this is your year because every year could have been potentially your year. It was up to you whether what you did or what you didn't do. Did you stay at home too much? Did you get lazy too much? Did you fall behind? It's always been up to you. Every year could have potentially been your year. This is your year. And hopefully the universe and everybody else out in the world realizes too that it's time for a change. Then they want to get mad if you're going to sell out of something in their neighborhood. I gave you the opportunity. I came to you first. You didn't believe that I could put asses in the seats. That's fine. I'm not a famous person. That's understandable. But I'm a good fucking comic. I'm not telling you I'm going to go in there. I'm going to come through and sell as many tickets as Tripoli with a tinfoil hat fucking fan base. I'm not going to go in there and sell as many tickets as Joey Diaz. I'm not telling you that. I'm telling you, you saw me on your stage rock it. You know I'm a fucking good comic. You know I'm good. Give me one of your off weeks and watch what I can do. Give me one of your fucking weeks where you're going to be dead anyway. 4th of July week. We're going to be dead anyway. Watch what I can do with fucking 20 to 50 people in the crowd. I'll fucking rock it. And guys, no matter what you do, your art, you're going to rock it. That's it. That's all I want to talk about. I really would appreciate if you guys could really support my show, support the Homeschool Podcast. It also helps get the word out if you guys pick up a t-shirt. If you pick up a t-shirt, a sticker, a sweatshirt, hoodies, it's all on there. I got, you know, tank tops for the ladies to work out in. I got shirts for men and women, sweatshirts. You guys, if you do that, here's what you're doing. You're supporting this podcast, allowing me to keep going and trying my best to get good guests. You are supporting an artist. You are getting the word out about my podcast with these dope t-shirts. It doesn't just say Homeschool Podcast. People are like, what the fuck is that? They're really cool designs that you would wear even if you didn't listen to the podcast. And it's, you know, you're getting word out about the show. And most importantly, you're making me feel good. When I go online and some of you guys tag me that you are wearing my shirt or something like that, it gives me that little extra boost to keep going. So we have a couple of designs out right now. I've got our original homeschooled design, the ex-president's design, is still available. You guys can go get that. I've got the Document the Journey with the peace logo design. Check it out. And then our newest one, Only Love Can Save the World. It's amazing. It's a really cool design. And then there's also the Kaboom logo, which, like, you know, in the comic books when they would punch him, be like, Kaboom. But it says Homeschool Podcast. You can get a shirt or like a sticker of those. Anything helps, you guys. We really appreciate it. Everything's at homeschooledpod.com. Click on merch. You can also download my comedy album there. It's called The Bad Guy. I appreciate it if you download it. Everything helps, everybody, okay? Homeschoolpod.com. Click on merch, okay? And pick up a t-shirt or something. I really appreciate it. While you're there, check out the tour dates. Homeschoolpod.com. Click on tour. And I hope to see you guys at one of the upcoming shows. I'm Augustino Zoida. Thank you for tuning in this time. It means a lot to me. I hope if you're an artist, I hope this lifted you up and gave you that extra encouragement that you needed, that you are going to make it. You are going to do fine. Keep going. And if you're a booker, I hope this woke you the fuck up. That you cannot do that to people. And you should be looking for new talent. Because when people blow the fuck up, they'll remember who dissed them and who didn't. It's a new time. This is Homeschool Podcast. Don't forget, only love can save the world. I'll see you guys next time. Peace.
Homeschool Podcast.
Homeschool.
The Homeschool Podcast. Why? Because he was homeschooled.
I don't want to do that.
No, okay.
I don't want to do that at all.